I'm telling you, if I was video podcasting right now, I would have the most embarrassing clip of the year. I'm actually standing here jiving with my hands up in the air, taking my hips, going back and forth, and going, dynamite! What's up, everyone? And I'm not kidding. And I am going to be doing video podcasts within the next month or so. So, I swear, on a bet, I will do that shit live for everybody, but... What's up? It is Wednesday night. Dynamite! I am Don Tony, and I am back once again. This is officially episode 3. And I gotta tell you, man, I don't remember this in 1996. Yes, I know WCW came out in 95, but I don't remember really channel surfing like this in 96, 97, 98, 99, 2000, and early 2001. I think what I used to do was watch Raw and then watch Nitro immediately after Raw. And when I did my hotline report starting in 1997, I would do pretty much the next morning. So the idea of doing this show on a Wednesday night immediately after NXT and AEW go off the air was a fucking challenge that I really wanted to see if I can live up to. But I took it one step further, and I want to thank everybody who gave me this idea. I actually took two TVs today. One had the Roku on. One had USA Network live online via YouTube TV. I had both shows going at the same time, watching both, taking notes on both, and I was watching side by side what match occurred during AEW at the same time what was going down in NXT. And I tell you, I'm fucking drained. But I will tell everybody this. Anybody that's a longtime listener, I don't need to say this, but I have to say it. You know, myself, I can only speak for me. You will never see anybody from any of these promotions, any of these wrestlers for the most part, ever plug, retweet, you know, anything that I do, even though I got the largest audience out there, other than the professionals, obviously, that do the podcasting. But, and the reason being is because I'm not politically correct. I don't fucking talk on both sides of my mouth. I'm not one of these fucking goof podcasters out there that have been shitting on AEW and criticizing it for 6, 7, 8 months. And because the last couple of days, everybody online wants to talk about what's going to happen Wednesday night. Now, all of a sudden, hey, everybody, have a great time. This is awesome. This is this, this is that, this is this. You know, what are you fucking bent? So I told everybody from day one, enjoy it, enjoy it, enjoy it. But keep it in perspective. And I'm going to tell you my opinion, how I interpreted both shows tonight. And I will say this. I give AEW a lot of slack because it is a brand new promotion, because this is the first live network TV show that they're doing on a regular basis. You know, you can have a pay-per-view and then have nothing for 3 months. You can have a special on TV and then have nothing for months. Now, the grind starts. Every single week, things need to happen. You weren't going to be right smack in the middle of big-time AEW storylines after one episode. All right, so when you see Jake Hager show up, or you finally get to see Dustin at the end of the night, and you see some of the other stuff going down, yeah, it goes off the air with you wanting more. The problem is, getting to that point, AEW's got some problems, man. And hear me out first, please. This is not going to be shitting on AEW. I'm going to tell you my honest views of what went down tonight. I will say this before I go any further. I will pay someone out there. And the problem is, I know a lot of people are going to step up right away. So, you know, I really can't pay anybody because I won't know who actually did it first. But I would love, if you just want to plug next week, I want someone out there to please go back and let me know how many commercial breaks AEW took during their 2 hours and how long the total amount of the commercials were. You cannot compare it to NXT because NXT advertised limited commercials that would not be fair to AEW. But Jesus Christ, I don't know if anybody else felt it out there, but it felt like, you know, they just doubled the number of normal commercials that you would see on a Raw or on a SmackDown. And I just, it was so goddamn annoying. It got so annoying that I think even AEW feared, you know, people turning away and not coming back, because I think JR said it two or three times during the second hour of the show. Everyone, we may be going to a commercial break soon. Don't change the channel. We'll be right back. Oh, by the way, everybody, we may be going to a commercial, but it'll be a split screen. Shut the fuck up. I'm not telling Jim Ross what to do, but when you start warning people of commercials, that just doesn't look good. And it just felt like there was double the amount of commercials that you would normally see in a two-hour span for pro wrestling. And to Evan Hill, I don't know what fucking cloud you've been on for the last month, but we've been hyping up Wednesday night. Wednesday night Dynamite. It is yours truly. I don't know what you expected, but get the fuck out of Mixler if you don't like it. But getting back to AEW, here's the problem. I have said it for a very long time. I want to know who is full-time contracted solely to AEW. All right, I remember NWA TNA in 2002, and what got old very, very quickly. Very, very quickly. You're a Mish fan? Good for you, Evan. I don't know. What shows does Mish do on a Wednesday night live online? Get the fuck out of here. I'm not going to block you. Be a man and fucking walk out the door, so I don't have to kick you out the door. But here's the thing. You know, I want to know who's full-time for AEW, because NWA TNA, after a very short amount of time, I realized that a lot of the wrestlers that were there, I could watch them here in New York. I could watch them for Frank Goodman. I could see them in Ring of Honor. I could see them here, see them there, see them everywhere. And not only that, you cannot have six wrestlers, everybody else, and expect to have full-blown TV every single week, full-blown 10,000-seat arenas, full-blown pay-per-views over and over and over again. They're going to lose a ton of money in a very short period of time. And the reason being is because of what I warned everyone. I even told everyone, don't be surprised if you see Finn Balor show up in NXT. Soon you'll see AJ Styles, Cesaro, you'll see others show up in NXT. When you look at, you know, since Tony Schiavone, and by the way, look, I'm always enjoying JR commentary, but I really enjoyed the return of Tony Schiavone today. I know some of you out there did not like it at all. I like Tony Schiavone as a commentator. He was fine tonight. There was no issues whatsoever. But they, you know, they had every right to bring up that this is the first time that you're seeing wrestling on TNT in over 18 years. And that is true. And they talked about the first Nitro. And, you know, look, they're trying to compare the first Nitro that aired on TNT to tonight, the first AEW on TNT. And what I say to everybody out there is you can't use ECW, because ECW never tried to feud with Nitro or Raw. They never went head-to-head. But NWA TNA tried, and so did WCW. And I invite anyone out there to do a Google search and look at the roster for WCW in 1995. I'm not even talking about name value, because that's totally unfair as well. It's a totally different climate, totally different era. But you look at WCW, the number of wrestlers that they had on payroll in 95. You look at the number of wrestlers that NWA TNA had on payroll in 2002. AEW, if you look at their contracted wrestlers that are full-time, it's like one-fifth of what some of those rosters were. And I didn't even mention WWE. WWE has an entire Raw, an entire SmackDown, an entire 205 Live roster that, at the end of the day, the paycheck say World Wrestling Entertainment on it. The paycheck doesn't say NXT. Hey, everybody, I work for NXT. Look at my NXT check. No, it's WWE. So all WWE has to do is, hey, want to we're going to send you to NXT, work NXT for a couple of months. Hey, we're going to put you in NXT for a few months. Hey, we're going to put you in NXT for a few months. And you could just bang star after star after star after star. AEW does not have that. What felt like tonight, it felt like, you know, yes, Cody, the Young Bucks, Kenny Omega, Chris Jericho, they have been busting their motherfucking asses for over a year to get to this point, and they deserve to be rewarded. They deserve to be praised. They deserve to be acknowledged. But at the end of the night tonight, you know, take away the surprise factor of Jake Hager showing up. Take away the fact that John Moxley showed up at the end. But if you take away that, doesn't it feel like everybody who's involved behind the scenes of the promotion were the ones that you cared about the most for? And yes, a promotion, Dimitri, I don't know what cloud you fell off of from. I watched both shows tonight. I had two TVs on. I mean, I had them side by side. I took notes for both. But you, and you know what? I wish everybody out there could get two TVs or a TV and your computer screen. And please put up AEW on one and put up NXT on another and watch them side by side. One thing you will notice right off the bat is that the NXT audience was 1,000 times livelier during the 2 hours. AEW had its moments, no question. I actually got a kick out of the fact that they really got behind Riho, which was awesome. And I got to give props to AEW for not going the common route that we all thought, hey, press release, transgender, women's champion, blah, 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 blah. And I still think that's going to happen. Or they may take it one step further. Maybe she'll be wrestling some of the men on the show, you know, thinking that they got a Tessa Blanchard on their hands. But when you put them side by side, you know, the AEW's got to be very, very careful. Well, let's get into it. Now, like I said, I watched both shows side by side. Cody's been saying for months that there's a lot of wrestling fans out there that feel disgruntled. They want an alternative to Raw and SmackDown. They want to see something else. Well, you got it tonight on network TV. NXT. Other than a brain buster through a glass coffee table. Tell me what was different tonight. Tell me what felt different about AEW tonight. We had a wrestler with testicles, a female wrestler with testicles. Tell me what felt so different tonight. It's a different company. TNA was a different company. MLW, ECW, Lucha Underground, Ring of Honor, all different companies. So what did we get so different tonight? When you take the logic of Cody, hey, you know, we're going to remember what he said. Oh, it's going to be about wins and losses. And you remember the pay-per-view? This wrestler has 2 wins. This wrestler has 2 losses. So, yeah, on the surface, hey, it's a different concept. Let's try it. And then you start thinking about it. Wait a minute. They're the ones who determine who wins and who losses. So if you're going to give somebody a push, usually you book them to win. So what the fuck was different about that? So now the last couple of days, Cody tweaks it and says, it's not just about the number of wins, it's the quality of wins. The fuck you talking about? If you book someone to lose in 2 minutes and they get squashed, how do they go? It's all smoke and mirrors when you think about it. And that's why I said all along, don't go into AEW with these overhyped expectations, because if it doesn't deliver what you expected it to deliver, it's going to be a hard fall. And then what happens with a lot of people out there is they're not happy with what went down. I mean, you look at it. We had the fucking god-awful segment with Filet-O-Fish. Did you see that segment where he interviewed Kevin Smith and Jason Mewes? They're talking about the Jay and Silent Bob reboot. They're interrupted by Jack Evans and Angelico, and then Private Party comes out. I mean, when you have Jim Ross actually say, "Did you ever hear a train fall off the tracks?" What is that? Tell me what's so different about that from the garbage we've seen on WWE TV. There was not much different tonight. You just had different writers and a different company running the background. You know, and look, I'm not somebody say I'm not jealous of Filet-O-Fish. I don't want to be a fucking interviewer outside. I don't want to look like I'm wearing a fucking suit that's two sizes too small. You know, I'm not looking to do that stuff. I enjoy what I'm doing. But I tell you, man, you take this segment by segment. Now, I'll get into the individual matches and give some overall comments. And we have a lot of news to get into as well. It's not just about recaps. Recaps are lazy. You got podcasters out there that'll sit for an hour or two, other than pay-per-views, and they just do recaps. That's lazy. You know, you got to do research and pull news and work and give some opinions. But you had Matt Riddle and Adam Cole open up NXT. Arguably match of the year quality. There was one part during that match towards the end where Matt Riddle hit a series of moves on Adam Cole, which Cole kicked out at a two. And it was just, look, I don't like Matt Riddle. It is no secret. Very, very disrespectful towards some wrestlers. Don't give me that, bro. You know, bro my balls, okay? The guy is really fucking talented, but the guy does have some issues with his attitude, all right? You want to say, oh, he's living a gimmick? Fine, if that's how you feel. But I could also recognize talent. Last week, on Wednesday Night Dynamite, I told everyone, even before we knew who was going to be fighting Cole tonight, I said that I think Matt Riddle should be fighting for the title tonight, but I don't think he's ready to be the champion yet. And that's what we had tonight. But that match was so fucking strong. And you look at that NXT crowd, and trust me, at the end of this episode that I'm doing, I honestly think everybody out there will feel that I was extremely fair to both AEW and NXT, because I do have praise for AEW in a lot of areas, and I have some criticism as well, and as well for NXT. But you turn on the beginning of AEW again, and you have Cody versus Sammy Guevara. Other than a little spot here and there, you had the crowd sitting on their hands within 5 to 7 minutes of the debut episode. You didn't need to advertise what the first match was going to be, because WWE says, oh yeah, we'll give you Matt Riddle and Adam Cole. And they fucking tore down the building. And you listen to the NXT fans. You look at the energy in that crowd compared to the first 15 minutes of energy in AEW. And it was sad to see. It was really sad to see. Guevara versus Cody was average at best. To have your first ever, I mean, they were bringing up Pillman and I think Jushin Thunder Liger it was in 1995. There's no comparison. I know Cody, he's behind the scenes, he's doing everything, he's working his ass off, he soaks it in, he's taking it in, he's almost at tears. He deserves the credit. But to open up against Riddle and fucking Cole? Come on, what was that? I think they knew that they had nothing on the roster except for the main event that could really stay up to par with Riddle and Cole. So they're like, look, let's just open up with Cody and Guevara and see where it goes. And what's interesting is that Riddle and Cole's match, as well as Cody and Guevara's match, they both ended within a minute of each other. So it's not like this one went 5-10 minutes longer than the other. You go have them side by side. Their matches ended within a minute of each other. But AEW opens up, and I would love for everyone out there to pay close attention to the AEW crowd tonight. And hopefully you've been noticing the NXT crowd for quite some time now. The demographic for NXT and AEW is different than WWE's main roster. You look at both brands, it looks like mostly fans in their early 20s to early 30s. Would that be an accurate number? Didn't see many children. Of course there was some, but if you look at those crowds, when I said a long time ago that AEW is going to be the first millennial promotion, my God, look at that crowd. And I'm not saying it as a negative, but there's a specific demographic they're going for. And a lot of what you see in wrestling today, especially on the indies, is a lot of the spot fests. I mean, you look at some of the matches that are out there. What are the highlights you always see in a lot of the Facebook pages or Twitters? You always see spots, 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 spots. Psychology is a lost art in a lot of ways. And that's something that obviously WWE is missing in a lot of areas. And that's something I think NXT misses also. You know, the matches in NXT sometimes are a little bit too organized. Did I have any problem with the main event in NXT tonight? You know, I had no problem with Bobby Fischer, Kyle O'Reilly versus the Street Profits, but it just felt too organized. I don't care who interfered at the end. You know, when you see, you know, the main event for AEW tonight, and they're brawling, you know, Omega and Moxley, you know, it's got like an unpredictable feel to it. And I think that's something that's missing more as far as wrestling goes. We'll get to that main event in a little bit. But AEW opens up tonight, and they're doing some reminiscing about, you know, wrestling on TNT way back to 1995, and we haven't had it since 01. I really got a kick out of the fan who had that Vince Fears rating sign in the crowd, because not only was that sign funny, but I wonder if anybody out there knows why it was written the way it was. That is a sign from a very long time ago during the Monday Night Wars. And whoever made that sign tonight took the actual, wrote the writing exactly the same way as you saw it on Monday Nitro. And I thought that was really, really, you know, creative to take the extra step. But Cody versus Sammy Guevara, you know, you kind of felt the finish was given away early when Cody does the interview and says, hey, if Sammy Guevara wins, he'll take on Chris Jericho at Full Gear or whatever it's called. And you're like, there's no way Sammy Guevara is fighting Chris Jericho for the heavyweight title on that pay-per-view. So Cody gets the win. It wasn't a bad match, but it was a very, very... I don't know. It just felt like it just stalled in a lot of areas. After the match is over, Cody hugs Tony Schiavone in the ring right before they have the in-ring interview. Guevara shakes Cody's hand. Jericho comes out and attacks Cody because obviously they're going to have their match on the next pay-per-view. Now here's where it really started, you know, I had issues with the commercial breaks. They go to a commercial break and they're doing a split screen, like we see mostly on SmackDown, which was fine. I don't mind the split screen. But the split screen is an after-match beatdown of Jericho onto Cody. When you have Dean Malenko and old members of Atlas Security and all of them coming in to break it up 9 minutes later, I mean, it's just dopey. And it just went on too long because they go to a full-blown commercial break. They come back from a commercial break. Jericho is still beating down Cody. And after about 9 fucking minutes, that's when everybody breaks it up. Just the timing was not good. The beatdown was fine, but it just... this is the most important thing I can make out of all of this. I just talked about Cody versus Guevara. I just talked about Jericho beating down Cody. I just talked about the commercial breaks. I don't know if anybody realized it, but after what I just mentioned, it was already 8:30 in the evening. We had no opening promo. Sure, they had a little skit, you know, to hype up the match between Cody and Guevara, but you didn't have no 10-minute segment with fucking like WWE has a day. We're already at 8:30, and that's what we had. So far, for that first, you know, segments, we got Cody Guevara or Riddle and Cole. And I think it's pretty obvious Riddle and Cole won that segment easily. Next, you have Velveteen Dream coming out on NXT. And he's cutting, you know, his segment and he's cutting his promo. And we find out, you know, as far as what Velveteen's Dream's match is going to be next week. And I'm not doing the NXT part recap yet, but I'm bringing it up for a reason. At the same time Velveteen Dream is cutting his promo, we have the match that takes place with MJF and Brandon Cutler. Match doesn't even go 3 minutes. I don't know if Brandon Cutler really hurt his leg, but he did a dive outside the ring, threw MJF back in the ring, climbed the top rope like he was going to do some type of a splash, and his leg started wobbly. He falls down, and MJF immediately puts a submission move on Cutler to get the win. 2.5 minutes. So this is what we have to open up AEW so far. And, you know, I got a kick out of, you know, Shivani calling MJF a prick and everything like that, using a little bit of salty language, which is fine. You know, but saying holy shit or calling someone a prick is not going to make you cutting edge or edgy like that. But I don't mind it either. But that's what we have so far. All right. Now we're about 8:45, and then we get the horrible segment with Filet-O-Fish interviewing Kevin Smith and Jason Mewes. You have fucking Jack Evans and Angelico coming out, which, I'm sorry, Jack Evans sucks on the mic, let's be honest. And even Jim Ross, when he says, you ever hear a train go off the tracks? That should tell you something. And then they hype up Private Party versus Young Bucks next week. So that's what we got for AEW so far. So it's like, okay, I'm sorry, but so far I'm not feeling it at all. You could see that there is a ton of filler, and it's not the wrestlers' faults. MJF and others are not going to be overnight sensations. They're not going to have tens of millions of fans online. They're not going to have fucking, they're not going to be household names yet. So you don't want to put too much on your plate at the same time. But next we have ACU doing a segment in front of the White House trashing Washington, D.C., which was very entertaining. Then we have an interview segment at ringside with Shivani interviewing SCU. Lucha Brothers come out. They talk about how they're the best tag team in the universe. They have a pull apart. Malenko, Atlas breaking up the brawl. And then we have the backstage segment of Jericho giving a pep talk to Los Boricuas, which, you know, I think everybody and their mother knew that Los Boricuas were going to be the partners of Jericho. I think Mission, I said it the night of the AEW pay-per-view. I think we even called the LAX coming out from the last pay-per-view, you know, earlier in that night. Then we got Hangman Page versus Pac. Can't call him Pac. Pac. This is where the commercial breaks really got annoying, because we had two commercial breaks during this match. JR warns the fans of, hey, we got another commercial break coming. Don't go anywhere. That sounds like desperation. I know it's not desperation on AEW's part, but when you imagine meeting someone for the first time, you know, and you're talking to a girl on the phone and you're trying to impress the girl and you really don't know each other yet, but then you're like, oh, I got to go take this call. I got to go throw out the garbage. You know, call me back, you know, pick up the phone if I call you, you know, and you're just trying to find a reason to get off the phone. You don't do that. You just say, look, I'm throwing out the garbage, you know, call me back. But, you know, look, you know, don't forget me, you know, don't go out, you know, make sure you call me. I didn't like that at all. And also what I did not like was Earl Hebner. Look, we saw him referee in Impact Wrestling. All right. And yes, he is older, but I don't know what transpired over the last year, but Earl Hebner looks very, very old, very, very frail. I know he is a veteran. I know he is a highly respected referee, but I don't think Earl Hebner has any business being in AEW. I know you want recognizable names, but you look at NXT, you got some fucking chick refereeing, you got some black guy refereeing, you got some white guy refereeing. I don't know most of their names. I don't need to know their names. They referee good, that's all that matters. You know, and Earl Hebner just looks old. I know, you know, you wanted to hire him, you got to find something else for him to do. Seriously. And if the guy doesn't want to do anything else but referee, then let him fucking do it on the indies. Let him do it for another promotion. I did not like the windmill stuff. Come on. You're trying to be different from WWE and you have him doing the fucking windmill thing with Paige and Pac. It was just, I didn't like it. Paige and Pac, very, very physical at times. really fucked up the momentum by having two commercial breaks in less than 8 minutes apart. I mean, that was god awful. And when it came back from the second commercial break, and again, I took these notes. I'm not reading anybody else's stuff. This is what I noticed. This is what caught my eye. But when it came back from the second commercial break between Adam Page, Hangman Page, and Pac, JR made a comment saying that the pacing of the match was troublesome. And I know you want to be very realistic in commentary, but that's not what you want to say when these two guys are having a very subpar, very, very bland, uneventful match. Yes, there's physical spots. Yes, there's dives. Yes, there's some stiff shots. But you don't need a commentator saying about the match is the pacing is troublesome. And that's not the wrestler's fault, so to speak. And I don't even want to blame the commentators. That's what happens when you go through two commercial breaks in less than 8 minutes. And these wrestlers aren't going to blow their loads during commercial breaks. You know, yeah, you could come back from a commercial break and say, hey, during a commercial break, you missed this or whatever. I don't know why the second time around they didn't do the split screen, but when you have commercial breaks with two guys that is supposed to be, you know, just really much more energy in the match, it takes the wind out of it. I mean, how many of you out there have pumped, you know, your boyfriend, girlfriend, significant other, and, you know, you're getting into it and you're having fun and you're really in the moment, and then the telephone rings. All right, honey, I got to take this call. And then 5 minutes later, honey, I got to take this call. And 5 minutes later, I got to pee. The dog wants to pee. And you go, after 2-3, you know what your girlfriend, and I can only say girlfriend because, you know, I have a girlfriend. I'm sure girls out there will say this about men or their girlfriends, and I'm sure guys will say it about their boyfriends as well. But you tell me, after two fucking interruptions of getting intimate with your significant other, tell me how many of you out there had that other person say, no, I'm just not in the mood anymore. No, it's not you. It's just, I'm just not in the mood anymore. It's happened to me. It's happened to me many times in decades, but come on, it happens in wrestling too. You got these two guys, you're trying to tell a story in a ring, boop, commercial break. And then the second time, boop, commercial break. And then guess what, everyone? After the match was over and they showed us the highlights of the 75 spots that happened, another commercial break. And that's what happened. But Pac gets the win. For some reason, it seems like the breaks for the push for Hangman Page came a little bit to a halt. I don't know what happens with Hangman Page from this point forward, but the last pay-per-view, you know, we got that female referee, what was her name, Audrey or whatever her name is, you know, with the fucking animation. I give her credit. Much better today. Dialed it back. Did not act like the center of the show. Give her credit for that. Give AEW for credit for, you know, picking up on that. But, you know, it fell flat. Wasn't a bad match, but, you know, the first episode, you know you're going against NXT. You know you're going against the WWE machine. Yeah, I find it funny at these geeks online, these goofs, these nerds, these dweebs, these fucking losers online that say, ha, 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 yeah, right, WWE didn't think it was competition. Ha, 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 ha. Shut the fuck up, because you want AEW to succeed. You don't want fucking WWE to take all of their major players and throw them on NXT and let anything go and be an unbelievable match and fucking pay extra to take away. No commercials. Nothing. Yeah, come on. You really want to keep poking the bear? I saw an interview that Tony Khan did. I don't know if anybody saw this interview. He did it with the LA Times. And look, he's confident in AEW Dynamite. And AEW Dynamite is not going to falter. It's not going to fail. It's going to have a lot of growing pains. And I hope everybody understands that. I'm not going to be one of these people say, oh, stick a fork in them. 2 months from now, they're done. They're done. No, they're going to have their audience. There's a lot of people that don't like WWE. WWE's too organized. AEW will be around for a while, but when I also read this interview, and Tony Khan says, quote, these are actual quotes, "The AEW roster has much bigger stars and better wrestlers, frankly, than the NXT roster." I have to say it like that, because if I say it a different way, people are like, DT, you're a racist. No, but come on, man. Tony Khan is proud of his roster. But Tony Khan, let me read that quote again. This is the exact words. "The AEW roster has much bigger stars and better wrestlers, frankly, than the NXT roster." Number one, you know, there's a lot of pride involved. Everybody behind AEW, the wrestlers, the workers, the ring crew guys and gals. There's pride. People that wrestle, work for NXT, behind the scenes in the offices, there's pride. To have the fucking owner of AEW say that the AEW roster has much, much bigger stars and better wrestlers, you're poking the bear. You're poking a bear that doesn't need to be woke. All right? WWE is not going to lose any revenue right now because of AEW, but you know what? WWE could fucking make it very, very difficult for AEW to keep up with the machine. You know, people were fucking blowing their loads tonight. Finn Balor, oh my God, he's in NXT. And Finn Balor even said, right now I am NXT. Yeah, right now. Right now. May not be that way 3 months from now. You fucking keep poking the bear and you see WWE pull this person, this person, this person, this person. What if he brings back CM Punk or this person? What it was, Tony Khan? Is this going to be like a bad Bugs Bunny cartoon? Remember the episode of Bugs Bunny where he's trying to pick up this chick and there's some other fucking bunny and they keep going up each other's rabbit hole and Bugs Bunny takes out an engagement ring and the fucking other bunny comes out with a horse and this Bugs Bunny comes out with a car and the other one comes out with a mansion and they keep trying to, you know, beat each other to impress the female bunny. And guess what? You know, the female bunny is the one that ended up working out of all of this. I'm sorry, but Tony Khan right now doesn't have that kind of a roster to be making comments like that. You may have made Omega get that special feeling down his leg. You may have put smiles in all the wrestlers that work for your faces. You think the NXT wrestlers just sat there and be like, hey, he's right. You think Vince McMahon just sat there or Triple H and say, he has a right to his opinion? I told you, if I own a fucking restaurant, I want as much money as I possibly can make. I want every customer to go to my restaurant. If somebody says to me, hey, did you hear fucking Rafael Khan is opening up a fucking restaurant 2 blocks away, same type of food as you, and that's okay. You know, that's fine. And then he opens up his restaurant. It's a tiny little rinky-dink joint, and he only gets about 1/50th of the customers I get. Well, guess what? I don't give a fuck how many customers go to his place. Every customer that buys food at fucking Rafael Khan's restaurant is one less customer that could be buying food by me right now. So when you got these dweebs and nerds and these goofs online, they're like, yeah, right, and it's the WWE didn't think AEW's competent. Who are you trying to brag? You don't own nothing. I don't even think you own fucking wrestling shirts. What's your point? Your point is you're going to poke the fucking bear, and the fucking bear is not going to even give you the chance. And I'm sorry, Tony Khan ain't going to get Dixie Carter's cookie recipe, and they're not going to give cookies in Orlando Studios, and the WWE's going to fucking embrace it. Not good. Not good. Very, very dumb comment to make on behalf of Tony Khan. He could think that. He could feel that way. We could all agree with him. But you don't fucking say that publicly. Not when the competition on the opposite side, who you could say until you're blue in the face, WWE isn't our competition. WWE wants to squash you like a goddamn grape. Does not want to give you any momentum whatsoever. WWE wants you to fucking fail and fall flat on your feet. That's business. You can't take it personal. All these fans online take it personal. The wrestlers take it personal. The office workers take it personal. The ring crew takes it personal. The referees take it personal. Well, you know what? The WWE offices, the management, they take it as business. And the idea of them trying to pull what they're pulling, they got to be really careful. So now we get Riho versus Nyla Rose for the AEW Women's title. Britt Baker at the announce table. Once again, another commercial break before the match starts. Match was pretty much the Giant versus Shrimp. You know, look, say what you want about Nyla Rose being put in that position. I will admit it. I think a lot of you out there will admit it as well. AEW, it would have been very convenient for them to put the title on Nyla Rose today, get all the attention from the LGBTQ community, transgender, press release, first transgender women's champion of all time, probably big time interviews. And I believe Nyla Rose will get that belt sooner than later. But kudos for AEW for swerving us, to be honest with you. And give props to Riho, because I'm going to make a point right now. You go back and you look at AEW for the last 2 weeks, and you look at all of the articles and everything that they pushed about Nyla Rose. I want you to show me how they pushed Riho. They spent virtually no time putting over Riho. I mean, what happened to all these women are equal and we're all going to put this and this and that? And the idea, oh, we had no idea we were signing someone that wasn't this or that, this. They really pushed the fact, because everybody would also fill in the blanks about her being transgender. But Riho won the fans over tonight, which was not going to be easy. Nyla Rose still has a lot of seasoning to go, but she was in her hometown tonight, so she had a little bit of an advantage that way. But Riho really got the fans over with her. And up to this point, I invite anyone to challenge me on this. You could arguably say that when Riho, right before she won the title, and even when she did win the title, I thought Riho at this point was the most over person who was on television. I thought she did a great job. She wins the title. Obviously, a lot less fanfare online. AEW gave a very little fanfare the last 2 weeks. You're not going to see much more of it right now. After the match is over, you had Michael Nakazawa was going to interview Riho in Japanese for the Japanese audience. Nyla Rose attacks Michael Nakazawa. She's about to attack Riho. Kenny Omega makes the save. And for those that don't know, Kenny Omega trained with Riho. So now we have a little bit of a stare down with Kenny Omega and Riho, Nyla Rose. Don't know if that's going to go anywhere. Once again, commercial break. We come back from commercial break. Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks come out to the ring. Another commercial break. I kid you not. Then we get Santana and Ortiz versus Jericho. Santana, Ortiz, and Jericho versus the Elite of the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega. They should have just made this a no DQ match. And I don't remember it being a no DQ match, because almost at the beginning of the match, John Moxley shows up, attacks Kenny Omega. They don't call for the bell. And although I want to make this clear, I loved the brawl with Omega and Moxley. That brainbuster DDT on the glass coffee table was sick. It was great, even though they went to a commercial break right after it. But what annoyed me about that is, if storyline wise, if John Moxley is not part of the match, and he interferes, okay, you don't call for a DQ, fine. All right, no problem, no big deal. A lot of ECW back in the day didn't call DQs. I'm cool with that. I'm cool with that. I'm hip like that. I'm black like that. Dun, 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 dun. Anyway, all right, you're not going to call for the DQ. I'm cool with that. Why would you keep the cameras on Moxley and Omega and not the fucking in-ring match? These guys are laying on the ring like fucking Roman Reigns in a Royal Rumble. Why do you not have the cameras on the people participating in the main event of the match? Instead, you're focusing on the person who interfered in the match that shouldn't be in the match. Where is the officials? Where's Malenko? I mean, is he? Where is the fucking security? You know, it just sloppy. Sloppy. I loved the brawl, but that could have been covered up easily if they would have made this a no DQ match. There would have been no problem with it. You could have kept the cameras on the way it is. You could, but I don't recall it being a no DQ match. Yeah, some I don't remember it being no DQ. I think if, trust me, if it was a no DQ match, I guarantee a lot of people over the last week would have said, oh, Moxley's definitely going to interfere in this match. No doubt about it. Blah, 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 blah. But I liked it. I'm looking forward to seeing Moxley and Omega. It better be a fucking street fight. I don't want it to be fucking chain wrestling in the ring. And Moxley, you could see that his return to wrestling, although he's killing it in Japan and he's doing great on other shows, but at his core, I think Jon Moxley fucking loves the hardcore. I mean, anybody that knows his CZW history, it's obvious. But I think he really wants to push the hardcore side of it. And, you know, it was what it was. But anyway, the end of the match, you had, Jericho and Los Boricuas defeat the Elite. Kenny Omega obviously is nowhere around because he got taken out by Moxley. Then we have Sammy Guevara hit the ring. We had Cody hit the ring. Cody hit the ring first. Guevara hits the ring. Dustin hits the ring. Then Jake Hager hits the ring. Holy shit chance. Jim Ross even with a holy shit chant. Holy shit, it's Jake Hager. I'm glad Jake Hager was there. He looks great. It's nice to see him back. He ain't a bad wrestler. But I don't recall him ever being Jesus Christ in wrestling. Holy shit. I mean, the way they were fucking, you know, trying to play it off. You would have thought CM Punk showed up tonight. But it was great. I did get a kick out of it towards the end. It seemed like Hager wanted to do the we the people symbol, but they kept the camera on him. They kept the camera on him. It was 9:59. Waiting for them to go off the air. Wait, I have a feeling we're going to find out. As soon as the cameras went off the air, he did the We the People symbol. Crowd loved it. And you know what? If the AEW fans loved Jake Hager showing up, they loved the surprise factor, that's a good way to go off the air. So if you rewind everything I said, it opened up very bland. For the first 90 minutes, give or take one spot or two, it was very bland, way too many commercial breaks. I really hope someone steps up and really lets me know how many commercial breaks, how long was the total commercials. And then what I'm going to do is, I know some of you are going to say, DT, why don't you do it? I got other things to do. I want someone to help me. No one else wants to help me behind the scenes. But I'm going to do that with Raw. I'm going to go back to Raw or even SmackDown, and I want to see how many commercial breaks they made, and I want to see how long. It just felt too many commercials. And again, you have a commentator like Jim Ross several times during the 2 hours. You know, everyone, you know, we may go to a commercial break. You know, don't go anywhere. We're going to have a split screen. You know, don't be worried. Just go to a commercial break. Shut the fuck up. Now we got NXT. Mauro Ranallo, Nigel McGuinness, Beth Phoenix. Shout out to Andrew 914, sitting ringside as always with the Don Tony shirts. Love it. We had the opening match, Matt Riddle and Adam Cole. I did enjoy William Regal at the gorilla position, giving the fist bump to Matt Riddle before he came out for his match. A lot of undisputed Let's Go Bro chants during the match. As I said earlier, arguably top three match of the year so far. The match was awesome. They really gelled in the ring. There was a couple of spots that were a little sloppy, but so what? The match was fucking awesome. And after the match is over, you know, Cole is celebrating. Finn Balor's music hits. He comes out, his hair a little bit shorter than usual. And he gets on a microphone and he says, as of now, Finn Balor is NXT. Throws the mic down. Everybody's fucking, you know, going apeshit and loving it. I saw social media blowing up over it. And that's one person. One person. You got to give WWE credit. You got to give AEW credit tonight for not name dropping WWE in insults. Give them credit for doing that. Give WWE credit also for not throwing out there too many bullets, too many main roster bullets. They didn't need it. I don't know if I would have went with that main event, even though I had no problem with it, but they didn't throw out many bullets tonight. You could add Samoa Joe show up. You could add a ton of people show up in addition to Finn Balor. But Finn Balor, NXT, everyone thinks now Adam Cole, Finn Balor feud coming up. Not so fast. We'll get to that in a minute. Next, you had a video package hyping up Shayna Baszler and Candice LeRae later on in the night. Velveteen Dream calling out Roderick Strong, which they're going to be having a match soon. They announced next week that it'll be Leo Rush versus Drew Gulak for the Cruiserweight title. Yep, there you go. 205 live match. Leo Rush, Drew Gulak. Next, you had Io Shirai versus Mia Yim for bragging rights as far as, you know, the women's wrestling goes. And the reason why I say that is because I want everybody to just realize this for a minute. The Brandon Cutler MJF match, to the latter part of the match, I should say, the horrible segment with Filet Fish and Jay and Silent Bob, the SCU segment trashing Washington, D.C., Shivani interviewing SCU ringside and having to beat brawl the pull apart with the Lucha Brothers, the pep talk with Jericho and Los Boricuas backstage. Do you know all of that took place during Io Shirai versus Mia Yim? All of that took place during that. And I got to give major props to Io Shirai and Mia Yim because I saw a lot of people online. This match was only 2-3 minutes old and people shitting on Mia Yim, just really just insulting. I thought they had a great fucking match. That's why, you know, there's people online that need to just, I didn't tweet at all during the 2 hours. I didn't tweet one thing other than plugging the shows because I was taking notes and I wanted to take it in. There were too many people out there that were busy trying to write one-liners to get likes in return. And if you think that that's not the case, why do you even need to say it online? Why do you even need to write it online? Why do you need to fucking insult Mia Yim? You know, why don't you wait until the match is over and then fucking insult them? People just need that instantaneous, you're right, like. They had a great match. Next, you had, by the way, Io Shirai gets the win. Oh, we had a commercial break during that match with Frosted Flakes and Tony the Tiger. Did anybody see that commercial? Whoever that Tony the Tiger is, and let's be also honest, Lee Marshall is dead now. You may know Lee Marshall from WCW. Many of you may not know that he was also Tony the Tiger back then. Great! Whoever's playing Tony the Tiger right now, really, they should fire him. That's worse than whoever was playing Kermit the Frog when they were doing Monday Night Raw. This guy sounds nothing like Tony the Tiger. It was god-awful. It's like Tony the Tiger got his nuts cut off. He just sounded like a regular guy. Like he got domesticated. You know, instead of being like, great, it's like, great. Fucking Tony the Tiger on Xanax. That commercial sucked. Anyway, Io Shirai gets the win. Next, we have Johnny Gargano versus Shane Thorne. And Gargano gets the win. This was a match I think a lot of people did not expect to be as good as it was. And look, I gave AEW a lot of compliments. I also expressed some complaints. But you look at NXT up until this point, in my opinion, the only part of AEW up to this point that was more superior than NXT was MJF's promo. MJF cut his promo at the same time Velveteen was cutting his, and I thought MJF, you know, he just is smooth, and he's just great on the mic. But up until this point, I stress, up until this point, Paige versus Pac could have been so much better, but it just fell flat in a lot of ways. So up until this point, NXT really did not do anything that I could complain about. And I'm not blowing my load on NXT. Anybody that listens to me on a weekly basis knows I don't blow my load on NXT pretty much ever. But you got to call a spade, and so far NXT is, you know, knocking it out of the park. And what people need to be concerned about that don't like WWE is that NXT didn't do too much different tonight that they don't do already, with the exception of some less commercial breaks and Finn Balor showing up and someone who made their return at the end. But I think that person would have still made his return even if AEW wasn't debuting on television. So next we have Candice LeRae versus Shayna Baszler for the women's title. Again, another solid match with Shayna Baszler getting the submission victory. We have plugs for the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view this Sunday. Hyping up Kushida versus Walter, which is another fucking incredible match I think people are expecting. Next we had Pete Dunne versus Danny Burch, which to me, it was probably my least liked match during the whole night. And towards the end, it almost felt like they told him to take it home quick because the Elite had just hit the ring for the main event and then boom, Pete Dunne defeats Danny Burch. Match over. Match was not bad, but, you know, again, I just couldn't get into that match. Main event, Street Profits losing to Bobby Fischer, Kyle O'Reilly. Undisputed Era retained the belts. I don't think that was any surprise. I don't even think Wale. How do you say it? Is it Whale or Wale? I don't listen to the guy. I don't follow the guy. I wrote earlier tonight, expect him to do a segment with the Street Profits. Some people tried to be wise asses and PMing, call me racist. Why do you got to put a black man versus a black man? You know, why do you got to put the black people together? Well, if you look at the whole Street Profits gimmick, you know, Wale cutting his promo, it just felt like it was the perfect opportunity to put them together. Would you get to have Wale fucking, you know, start rapping with Pete Dunne? You know, come on. It just felt like it should. And while it wasn't bad with Street Profits, but I don't know. It just felt like this match shouldn't have been the main event. I still think that Riddle versus Cole should have closed out the night. And then when you have, you know, that person making his return, which I'll mention in a moment, you know, I think that would have just meant that much more. But you understand why they did it early, because now they're playing off that Adam Cole not only has Finn Balor to worry about, but after the Undisputed Era retain their tag titles and they're celebrating, Undisputed Era is in the ring, you know, Bobby Fish, Kyle O'Reilly, and Roderick Strong. You have Adam Cole up the rampway, and then you hear music. And it is the return of Tommaso Ciampa. You know, Tommaso Ciampa, very serious injury, was out for quite some time. Looks a little bit smaller, but all he's doing is staring at Adam Cole's title, and they're going off the air, basically saying that not only does Adam Cole have to worry about Finn Balor, he now has to worry about Tommaso Ciampa. I think a three-way would be the ideal way to go, because I don't know if Tommaso Ciampa is 100% to have a one-on-one match right now. So make it a three-way. But you see, going off the air, there's just a lot more organization with NXT, and you have a roster of dozens and dozens and dozens. Jesus Christ, we didn't even talk about all the women that they could bring in from fucking Asuka. You know, you could bring in Charlotte if you want for a match. I mean, this, you could bring Becky. I don't want anybody to say, hey, Vince is going to ruin it. Did Vince ruin it? Did he ruin it by having Finn Balor show up tonight? I think not. So all I'm saying is, it would be foolish. It would be asinine. It would be dopey for anybody out there after one episode of AEW on TNT and either say AEW, WWE better be worried. And the opposite side, it would be moronic for anybody to say AEW's in trouble. AEW is going to have a lot of bumps in the road, a lot of growing pains, but you have to be concerned with the secondary part of AEW's roster, because unfortunately, there's a lot of names there who are talented that a majority of fans are not interested in seeing yet. They're not household names. I'm sorry. You know, if the indie circuit out there was so fucking hell-bent out of these wrestlers, then Ring of Honor and a lot of these shows across the United States and beyond would be drawing 2,000-4,000 fans on a regular basis. You had, 12,000 fans tonight, 14,000 fans tonight. I don't remember the exact number. It was really impressive because they want an alternative. They want something a little bit more, pun intended, raw than WWE programming. But you can't, have the grind of shows live week in and week out and week in and week out and week in and week out and keep recycling the Young Bucks, Chris Jericho, Kenny Omega, John Moxley, and then sprinkle in a little bit of Hager and Dustin Rhodes. And yeah, we'll get a Lucha Bros here. And we'll get a little person here. After 3 months, 4 months, 6 months, you don't have an ECW going out of business. You don't have a WCW going out of business. You don't have an AWA going out of business. You don't have, the caliber of wrestlers on the indies that are household names that you could just say, oh, this person's going to jump. This person's going to jump. This person's going to jump. I hate to say it, and I don't want to insult anybody out there, especially websites out there, but all I have read for the last 2 years of all of these wrestlers, I've read at least 30 wrestlers on a WWE roster who are going to jump to AEW. Yes, we had Moxley leave WWE and he is now in AEW, but he's not exclusive to AEW. He wrestles for other promotions as well. All right, Dustin is gone from WWE, but you don't see, big-time superstars, that are knocking on AEW's door. Look, I'm going to jump. You don't see it like it was with the Monday Night Wars. And this is one thing people really need to understand, and we're going to move on. I understand. You look at the AEW fan base tonight. I think everybody would say, like I said earlier, early 20s to early 30s, right? I think that's very fair. Monday Night Wars ended 19 years ago. So if you took a 30-year-old fan who is in the older part of who you saw tonight in the crowd, you took a 30-year-old fan. They were 11 during the Monday Night Wars. So I think it's safe to say about 90% of the fans there have never experienced the Monday Night Wars other than them watching it on WWE Network. Maybe they were fans during that brief, stint that TNA had on Monday night for a couple of weeks. Maybe that's all they got. But when you have, and I brought this up before, when you have WWE doing these anthologies, 15-volume sets, the Monday Night War, 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 the Monday Night War. You get brainwashed after a while. My God, the Monday Night War, it looks epic. Look at the crowd. Look at the signs. Look at everybody getting pushes. It's unbelievable. The channel surfing. The Monday Night War. Oh, I want that. You can't have that. So now we have AEW. Same night as NXT. What happens? They want what they never experienced. And their overhyping this. The Wednesday Night War, the Wednesday Night War, the Wednesday Night War, the Wednesday Night... when you're a young fan and you didn't experience the Monday Night Wars, you can't compare the two. You just can't compare the two. It's a totally different time. And again, you're comparing AEW to WWE's NXT roster. That's not even their main roster. And you just can't compare the two. But they want to feel what others felt back in the late 90s, mid-90s, early 2000s. I want that. I want to feel that electricity. That's why people were going bonkers the last couple of days on the internet. And it's fine to have that energy, that excitement. But the problem is you can't force something to be that it's not. They're both on TV, head-to-head at the same time right now. But guess what? AEW repeats after it's over. You can watch both. You can enjoy both. Why does it have to be AEW versus NXT? Did you notice, and I have said this for a month. I know some podcasters only picked this up the last 24 hours, but I've said this for a month. Did you notice all the podcasters are all moving their shows to Wednesday night, and they were hyping up that they were going to, and that's cool. And you know, I don't blame anybody for being excited. They want to speak on it almost immediately. That's cool. But did you notice about 95% of the shows out there, when they were hyping up that they were going to be live tonight at 10:15, 95% of those shows would write, I'll be live 10 o'clock right after AEW. No mention NXT at all. No, you see where I'm going with this? There's no reason why it needs to be AEW versus NXT. Enjoy both. It doesn't have to be versus, feuds, wars. You know, if you're going to create a war because you want a war, you're going to create a war because you want to live the excitement you didn't get to live because you were just sperm at the time. Well, guess what? You fucking overhyped that. You could literally hurt a promotion out there. You want this promotion to grow. You want baby steps. You want them to progress naturally. To immediately call this a war? They don't even know how to fucking use the guns yet. And they're gonna fucking war? A lot of stupid people out there. A lot of energetic people. God bless them. But that's why I've said for over a year, keep it in perspective. Keep it in perspective. My God, the level of tweet fucking tonight. The level of tweet fucking was just... And I'm not talking about regular fans giving their views as it's going down. It's fun to channel surf. I did it. It's fun to go back and forth. Tonight was fucking brutal for me because I had to take notes, two shows at the same time. You know, you had two shows doing great spots at the same time. Like, huh? What? What are you doing? Rewind. What? When one's on a commercial break, I have to rewind and see the other. So doing a show and watching both is not easy, but you'll know tonight about 90% of the shows out there that are going to do a show live. I will bet you anything you want to bet that all they saw tonight was AEW. Convenient. So anyway, you have probably 30 minutes left if you want to take part in the ratings predictions contest on our Facebook page. A lot of my patrons who are complaining that they don't have Facebook, I am going to do another ratings predictions contest next week exclusively on Patreon. Now, on Monday, I talked about the situation with AEW Dynamite in the UK with ITV4. Now, since Monday, there's been some changes in the scheduled programming, and I want to throw this out there for all my UK listeners because you'll appreciate this. Originally, they advertised that AEW Dynamite would be free on ITV4, Sunday, October 6th at 8:20 a.m., with a one-hour highlight show, Monday, October 7th at 11:45 p.m. Those shows are still scheduled to air. But now, instead of having to wait until Sunday, you will be able to see AEW Dynamite on the ITV Hub Thursday, October 3rd at 7 p.m. And I'm assuming that that will be the same for October 10th, 17th, and so on. You will also be able to see it Friday, October 4th on ITV4 at 11:20 p.m. and Sunday, October 6th on ITV4 at 8:20 a.m. So mark that down because it has changed since Monday. For anybody out there that may listen to AEW or watch it or want to watch it on Espanol, they have signed Alex Abrahantes, I think his name is. He will be doing Spanish commentary. He's been with Ring of Honor. I know that's a name a lot of you are aware of. And he's not bad. I mean, you know, he does the Spanish side of AEW. Also, AEW, starting October, middle of October, I should say, their merchandise is supposed to be available on Hot Topic. Now, I don't know if any of you out there have ever gone on Hot Topic store, but one of my listeners asked me to get them an Andre the Giant shirt about 6 months ago. I had never heard of Hot Topic before, and I went on that website, and it is incredible, the shirts that they have there. So if you want to go browse and check out some awesome shit, go Google Hot Topic and go on their store and go check it out. Definitely, definitely cool shit. Now, a lot of you out there wanted me to repeat what I guess I tweeted late last night because I couldn't sleep. I thought I saw a mouse in my house. Yeah, I just rhymed. I never had a mouse before, and I could have sworn I saw one. I don't know if I was just hallucinating, and I couldn't fall asleep after. So I'm looking online and doing some research and news, and I see that Impact Wrestling's Ed Norholm did an interview with the fucking troll, the Hobbit, the goof, Mike Johnson. And once again, this guy does a softball interview. And Ed Norholm, I got to be obviously careful what I say, but what a disingenuous person talking about the Killer Cross situation. I'm going to give everybody news right now. It's not a scoop. It's not breaking. It's news. I'm giving you news. You will not see it reported anywhere because everybody hates my guts. And they reveal that they're not really reporters. Because if you're really a reporter, you have to report stuff whether you like somebody or not. But here's the thing. Goofy fucking Mike Johnson does an interview with Ed Norholm. And I call him Special Ed Norholm. And they're talking about the Killer Cross situation. And Special Ed says, and I quote, Kevin, meaning Kevin Cross, decided that he would rather tweet his position rather than deal with them directly. And he says, we prefer talents to discuss amendments as appropriate. And he says that, you know, he would love to talk to Killer Cross, but Killer Cross decided to tweet his problems. That is so not true. It's ridiculously pathetic because I got straight from Killer Cross all of the legal documents that his representation sent to Anthem. And when Anthem mishandles someone's revenue, as bad as they have, you know, to have Ed Norholm and to have this fucking reject Mike Johnson, not even challenge him on it. All Mike Johnson had to say to Ed Norholm is, Ed, is it true that Killer Cross was not paid for revenue in 2018? That there are certain quarters that he was not paid anything. Was he paid during that time? And the answer would be no. All right, there's a lot of revenue checks. There's a lot of periods going back to 2018 that he was never paid, plain and simple. When it gets that far back, see, this is why I was joking online yesterday. I don't know if this is a cool thing to do in Canada because Anthem is mostly a Canadian company now. But here in the United States, all I know is that there's something called the IRS. And when you file your taxes, we all had to file, what was it, April 9th or whatever. Anybody remember the tax day for all of us in the United States? What's tax day? Someone in the chat. I'm in Discord's chat right now. Someone in the chat's got to know. It's April whatever, April 15th. All right? Hey, Special Ed, April 15th, 2019 is the deadline that you have to file your taxes with the IRS to report what you made in 2018. When someone works for an employer and that employer withholds and does not pay that person the money he was entitled to in 2018, what the fuck is Kevin Cross supposed to put on his tax return? How much money is he supposed to, include that? Does he leave it out? Why should he have to file an amendment later on? Why should he have to pay an accountant to change this? So, you know, in the United States, if I have an employee, I don't care if my employee is the biggest dick around, but if I hold money from that employee from 2018, guess what? I'm in trouble. I have problems. And I know a lot of people are, well, why don't you just sue? Because there's a process you have to go through. You can't just fucking file small claims court and take people to court. And this total disingenuous interview and comment yesterday was pathetic. Because Mike Johnson says, hey, you know, you think things could work out between you and Killer Cross? And Ed Norholm says, well, you know, Kevin prefers to tweet instead of talk to us. His motherfucking lawyer is talking to you. When you have a lawyer for a car accident, for an injury lawsuit, for breach of contract, for money that's owed for you, and a lawyer gets involved, that lawyer is your legal representation. You do not step on the shoes of your lawyer. When you completed the access deal, I guarantee you that you didn't say, sign this napkin and we got a deal. You had lawyers do it. So if lawyers are important to ink the access deal, it's just as important for an employee to demand money that his employer was supposed to pay him last year. It's not fucking brain surgery. This guy owes this guy money for several quarters of last year, and this fucking goof, Mike Johnson, interviews him and asks him the simple question, you think things could work out? Never asked the question, you know, is it true that, you know, he was not paid for several quarters of 2018? A simple yes or no answer. But this idea that this fucking goof says, oh, you know, he prefers to tweet. No, he's got a fucking lawyer sending you letters. Have you read them? Anyway, it's pathetic, man. You know, I hope every single person, I know the former ECW guys all have proper representation. I hope the up-and-coming stars of Impact Wrestling, I hope the ones that don't get many indie dates, I hope you have some type of representation. I hope that no longer do you send private message, social media tweets, and Facebook messages to Impact trying to negotiate things. Get a fucking lawyer. Get some online representation. Get someone to handle your shit. Because if things go south, you know, this is what you have to worry about. It's just, there's no excuse. And what's sad about it is the amount of money involved. I mean, seriously, how many, and I'm not saying this to disrespect Killer Cross, but how many of you out there have ever seen somebody walking down the street with a Killer Cross shirt? Not many, right? So how many fucking shirts do you think he sold through the Impact? And I'm just using one example. It ain't an Austin 316 shirt where there's hundreds of thousands of dollars of money. It's such a small amount of money. That's why I can't go any further, because there's lawyers handling it. But the fact that they're dragging this as much as they are and then goes public and says, well, he decides to tweet about instead of talk to us. No, he's got a fucking lawyer. Don't be disingenuous. But you see, goof Mike Johnson, and that's why you see, you know, AEW, Lucha Underground, Ring of Honor, Joe Koff, Special Ed, you'll see them all always go to the same people for interviews, because they know they don't have to worry about getting hit with that question where they start stuttering like fucking, you know, some ill person out there. So, Impact Wrestling, they had an event in Las Vegas, Nevada, September 27th. Listen to this fucking blockbuster card. Rob Van Dam and Rhino, with Conan in their corner, defeats the North of Ethan Page and Josh Alexander. Mahabali Shira with Gama Singh, Raj Singh, and Rohit Raju defeated Cousin Jake with Cody Diener, Tennille Dashwood over Madison Rayne, and a qualifying match for the X Division title, the ladder match at Bound for Glory, Tessa Blanchard beats Dave Crist. Four matches. You tell as much of the bumps in the road that AEW had today, you tell me how anybody out there is going to say, you know what, I'd rather give my money to Impact Wrestling than AEW. I think Democrats out there would say, I'd rather give my money to President Trump than fucking give it to Impact Wrestling. They have totally lost their identity, and they think that their identity right now is Tessa Blanchard could beat all the men. That's the aura it gives. Oh, and Tennille Dashwood gets a knockouts title shot against Taya Valkyrie that everybody thinks will ultimately be in WWE. I think them and Ring of Honor right now are battling to see which one goes out of business first. Ring of Honor just had Death Before Dishonor in Las Vegas. All right, go look at the attendance on that. There's like two rows, three rows. I mean, these are promotions that can't even draw 500. And we're supposed to think that, you know, there's a wrestling boom. There's excitement because people want to, as I said earlier, live vicariously or experience what they didn't get to experience, you know, that we did 20 years ago. But you can't force it. And you can't create what's not there. And once AEW really, you know, gets some experience behind them, gets some really good storylines built up, and it doesn't feel like it's, you know, oh, it's the Young Bucks, Cody, Kenny Omega, Jericho, and everybody else tour. You know, once they do that, yeah, then you could say, okay, you know, all right. But the idea that WWE is just going to let them be, because competition is great for business, and it's good to see everybody working. It doesn't work that way in the real life world. It doesn't work that way in business. It'll never work that way. And you see all these goofy fans online. You know, you want to be emotional. You want to be excited. You want to take sides. Go ahead. There's nothing wrong with that. It's fun in a lot of ways. Come on, I live in New York. It's Mets fans versus Yankee fans. You know, it's bragging rights. But don't think you know business. You know, don't think it's simple. Oh, well, you know, WWE, ha ha, they was in competition. They'll fucking squash AEW like a grape if they could. It's just business. NWA had a press conference. The new women's champion, Allison Kay, she was presented with the NWA Women's World Championship. Billy Corgan presented it. If anybody out there is a fan of women's wrestling or even is into the NWA current product, go check out the title. It's pretty nice. I don't know how I feel about having the photo in the middle of it. You know, it's got an old school feel to it. You know, it's a really nice looking title. But I don't know. You know, because I could just picture a storyline down the line where somebody takes a magic marker and starts drawing mustaches on the picture of the champion in the middle and this and that. I could see that a mile away. But it's not bad. It's not bad at all. I think we're almost done. I think, you know, we've been going about an hour and a half, maybe close to that. I do want to mention one thing that did happen. I got to give major props to AEW for, and I don't buy this excuse whatsoever, but for those that live in the UK, I'm sure you know about a promotion, Southside Wrestling Entertainment. They are, I believe, shutting their doors, and they're having their 9th anniversary show, and I believe that's their finale. And on that show, Liguero, Kaylee Ray, Zia Brookside, Joseph Connors, Dragunov, Saxton, Huxley, they're all part of WWE. They were supposed to be on that card because they have history for that area in the UK. And WWE pulled them from the card, and the reports going around is that the reason why they were pulled is because of the incident that happened with the referee. I don't know if you all heard about that a month ago, where referee Alan Wilde was attacked by Sha Samuels and Josh Bodum, that they actually shot on this referee and beat the fuck out of him. And the report going around is that WWE was concerned for the safety of their wrestlers because the incident happened at Revolution Pro Wrestling, and they think that Revolution Pro, because it happened on their watch, that something else could happen. That is one of the most moronic excuses that I have read in a very long time. They just don't want them being on that card. They pulled them, but AEW stepped up, and quite a few wrestlers from AEW are going to be appearing. I'm trying to remember who. I think Cody and Brandi Rhodes, Sean Spears, MJF, they're all going to the UK and be on that event. So I got to give major props for AEW for stepping up, because that promotion's been around for, I think, 9 years. And there's a lot of up-and-coming stars now that passed through Southside Wrestling Entertainment. And Southside was really taken back by the fact that WWE would pull all those stars. I don't buy that idea because it happened. You know, you have two guys that fucking totally inappropriate, that are not established stars. You fire them, you know, you move on to fucking take it out. No, I don't buy that shit at all. But again, the fact that AEW stepped up was absolutely excellent. Excellent. I think that's pretty much it. I think we covered a lot. Listen, everybody, you know, this was the first time. I go back to 1997 doing this shit. From the hotlines to the webcasts, podcast. This is the first time that I actually watched two shows at the same time, took notes at the same time. And I don't just take notes. I take very detailed notes. Because if I'm going to do any type of a recap, I don't want to leave things out. And hotlines back then, it was a lot easier, because I usually did it the following morning. So I would watch Raw, watch Nitro on a replay, and, you know, I can also put all my focus on each individual product as it airs. So the idea of watching two different shows at the same time and then go live 5 minutes after is not easy. I will continue doing that next week. This show will be tweaked a little bit as it goes along. It'll be a lot more organized. I don't think I will get into as detailed recaps like I did tonight. It was deserving tonight because this was the first ever show on TNT for AEW. I tell you, it would have been interesting if I was doing a podcast in 1995 when Nitro debuted on TNT. I don't know how I would have reacted at that time. I think it would have been a lot easier and a lot simpler to do, because number one, I think if I remember correctly, the show was only an hour. I think there was only maybe three matches, and, you know, everybody there was name talent. I mean, there were, most of them were household names. I mean, maybe Pillman, Jushin Thunder Liger, not every fan knew, but for the most part, everybody in the card, from Flair to Anderson to Sting, Luger showing up, Hogan, didn't he fight Boss Man? You know what I'm saying? Like, they're all names. So you don't really have to, you don't have to overthink it. But there was a lot tonight about AEW that needs to improve. But because it's their first show, no one should be ripping them apart. They deserve to, you know, launch, get their feet wet, get to see what clicked, what didn't click, what needs to be adjusted. But this commercial situation, look, it could just be perception. And I could be completely wrong on this, but I really need to know how many commercial breaks, how long were their commercials? Because it seemed a hell of a lot more than what we see on other cable channels, whether it's wrestling or a movie or a baseball game. These commercial breaks today, my God, remember what WWE did with Raw very recently? You know, no wrestling during commercial breaks, and it fucked up the matches. You had restarts and 2 out of 3 falls and 60-second pins and 15-second pins. It was god-awful. If you're going to have extreme action at times with some high flyers that are really trying to tell a story, and you take 3 commercial breaks and two of them are within 7-8 minutes of each other, that is not good. And that is not the way you want to portray your first product. Because trust me, I know some people are doing it to get tweet hand jobs tonight, but there are a lot of genuine people out there that were like, listen, you know, I'm just going to watch NXT for the rest of the show. I'm just not feeling it. And that's not what you want. And you don't need Jim Ross to fucking tell people, you know, the train fell off the tracks. You know, the way this match is going is very concerning. You don't tell everyone that the choreograph of the match is concerning. That's what you're pretty much saying. A little bit too much revelation tonight, in my opinion. But hey, I'm not telling Jim Ross how to do his job. Hell, for all we know, you know, AEW may have told him, look, you know, hold people to the fire. If you feel that someone is not delivering, give it to them. I mean, you know, they had a lot of criticism towards things tonight, but I will reiterate, I really enjoyed Tony Schiavone tonight. I thought it was great. I never had a problem with Tony Schiavone. I know some of you out there don't like him because of the podcast, I don't even understand why people don't like Tony Schiavone. I honestly never ever got pissed off from Tony Schiavone. You know, I don't know. I don't understand the hate towards him, but I enjoyed his work tonight. And Excalibur, he's fine. He's fine. I know some of you out there, you see Schiavone, you see Jim Ross, you see Excalibur. It almost feels like Maven next to the Evolution. You know, it's just you would think on the surface it doesn't click. There should be another veteran announcer. Maybe you have what's his face? Oh my God, I'm drawing a blank. He was Scott Hudson. You know, maybe some people would be like, oh, it should be Schiavone, Scott Hudson, and Jim Ross. I have no problem with Excalibur doing play-by-play and commentary. He's fine. I thought the announcing tonight was pretty damn good, with the exception of some of the complaints I made. But all right, I'm out of here. For those on Patreon, Breakfast Soup with Mish and myself will be airing Thursday afternoon. I'm sure Mish will have a lot to say about tonight. We will have some discussion and debate. We'll get into some questions, a couple other things. On Thursday night, you will have Castle Chronicles. Friday will be our live show on Patreon following SmackDown. I know I'll be on. I don't know if Mish will be on as of yet Friday, but we will definitely have a live show. And remember, next week our schedule changes in Patreon. Some of the days are going to be shuffled around. And people are very excited about next week because it's pretty much a show almost every single day going forward. And then this Sunday, we have the pay-per-view recap immediately after Hell in a Cell. Just go online, and I think Kev will be on with me, but I know I'll be on giving you a recap. So still got a very busy week ahead. Tomorrow, Breakfast Soup. Friday, the live show after SmackDown. Sunday, we have Hell in a Cell. And I think we still only know 3 matches for Hell in a Cell. So by Friday, we should have the full card. And then I'll throw the predictions contest out there. So everyone be well. And I will catch you all again next week for your next edition of Wednesday Night Dynamite. Take care, everybody. Ciao.